It's time to check sports. Let's bring in Mike Kozy. Good morning there, Mike.
Good morning.
Well, it was just an unbelievable day in baseball yesterday. Is it me, or do the Angels seem to have this weird streak of having active players die on them?
Yeah, it's pretty weird. Definitely pretty weird. I don't understand it. They don't know what happened to this guy, Skaggs. It's pretty crazy.
All I kept thinking about is, you know, it probably had some sort of minor heart defect that turned into a major heart defect that just nobody caught, no doctors caught over the years.
It's just hard to imagine that, though. I mean, if it was a normal person that lived a normal life, yeah, but a professional athlete, they get a lot of different kind of tests. I don't know. I don't understand it.
It is devastating to a team, no matter how it happens. And like I said, it seems natural deaths seem to happen to the California Angels. I mean, remember when the Yankees lost Thurman Munson in the middle of the season in that fiery jet crash? It just takes everything out of the team. It takes everything. Because
they had the one center fielder that died. They had the pitcher that killed himself.
Yeah.
Quite a few calamities off the top of my head.
And what people don't realize that don't play sports, that once the team is formed and out there for the season, it's like if you're a human being and you're the team and you lose a leg, you can't go on like you normally go on. I mean, the emotional
team,
bond.
The team gets like a family, whether they're good or bad.
Yeah.
And when something like this hits, it's devastating.
Well, our best to his family. But, geez, what a horrible story. I mean, it takes reporting scores and puts it secondary, you know, on a day like this.
Oh yeah, no doubt. I didn't know about it until last night. A friend of mine texted me and said, "You hear what happened to Skaggs?" I'm like, "No, what happened?" And he texted me. I was shocked.
Yeah. Well, there's that. Then the second story that I wanted to talk to you about yesterday was how there's only one way the New York Knicks are ever going to get good again. You know what way that is?
Go ahead.
Nobody wants to play for James Dolan. Nobody. It doesn't matter that New York is a big market. Doesn't matter that you can get all these additional contracts. How bad is it when the Brooklyn Nets can outbid a franchise like the New York Knicks? Not outbid them. I don't think they outbid them. I just think that nobody wants to play with the Knicks.
I told my friends I was going to talk about this morning. I don't think that's the truth. I really think that I think the Knicks did a good thing yesterday. I mean, why would you want to go pay Durant money to watch his Achilles heel? His Achilles heel heal. Why would you want to do that? And what the NBA is becoming a league of terrorism. And what I mean by that is this guy Durant joined up with another player and made themselves a package deal. How is that possible? How is that possible? Well, if you want me, you got to take him.
It all started with LeBron.
Exactly. The league is a league that's been run. It's being run by terrorists that hold you at ransom to make the deals that they want, and to hell with the ownership. It's wrong. What the league should have done was say, "We will sign you, player A, but we're not going to sign player B because of his injury." Where would it come out like that this could be possible? My opinion, the Knicks did the right thing for a change. They didn't make that deal. Because why would you want to sign Kevin Durant when he's an injured player and you don't know how he's going to come back? And a lot of these guys that have injuries to their Achilles, it's a reoccurring thing even after the surgery. So why would the Knicks want to go blow, I don't know, $200 million on something that's not right? And the league, for allowing these players to team up to make these deals, these package deals, they should be ashamed of themselves. That's why I have no respect for the NBA because of things like this that go on. Where can you do that? I mean, it's like saying, okay, well, you know, if you want to sign Aaron Judge, the New York Yankees, you have to sign Sanchez and another player, or else we're not going to sign with you because we're a package deal. Are you kidding me? You can't do that. It's ridiculous. But the NBA lets their players get away with it. But for me, I think the Knicks did a good thing yesterday by not caving in and taking care of that deal. I think they did a real good job with it.
Now, whenever I hear Achilles tendon, I just think of the two surgeries I went through 4.5 years ago over the course of 2.5 years, where I had both my Achilles tendons worked on. Okay, and I'm not an athlete, and yes, I'm still recovering. But you know how long it took me so my Achilles tendons are really, really aren't tight anymore? It took me about 1.5 years after both surgeries for my Achilles tendons to actually feel like they wouldn't be breaking on my next step. So that is a big injury. Now,
there's a big difference between the physicalness of you and Durant,
but still.
The injury is a major injury, whether you're an athlete or not. So for the Knicks to dole out that kind of money for that, no way. And I'm not going to be held at ransom to say, well, to get player A, you have to sign player B. All right, you know what? A and B, both of you take a walk. I think the Knicks did the right thing. The Nets, on paper, it looks like a good deal. But you're not going to know what kind of a deal this is until 2 years down the road when and if Durant's able to play at 100% again. If he's not, this looks like one of the worst deals in NBA history, because if Durant can't play, then his partner that he partnered up with to get the deal done is going to dog it out and say, I want out of Brooklyn, and then the Nets are going to be holding a big multi-million dollar bag of nothing.
All right.
So it's you got to wait and see how this plays out to see if the Nets made the right deal. You're not going to know for 2 years, and there's just as good a possibility as this blows up in their face as it doesn't.
All right, now I want to talk to you about this. Yesterday, I'm one of these. Well, you know from the fact I just thought this playing a game in Europe during the regular season is unfair to both teams.
Mm-hmm.
And exactly what I thought happened. Hey, the people watching the games had a great time. They saw home runs. They saw, but it was terrible baseball.
Oh, it was garbage.
And it was terrible baseball because that one pop fly. I saw one pop fly fall between an outfielder and an infielder, and it hits the outfield grass, and it bounced at least 20 feet in the air. Mm-hmm. At least 20 feet in the air.
Well, that was that new AstroTurf that they put in that, like, a lot of kids' games are being played on.
And did you see, if you saw the ground balls, people were saying, well, they needed ground ball pitchers. It didn't matter. The ground balls hit that AstroTurf and took off like a shot.
That's what kids play on now, the younger kids.
It's just, and I feel sorry for both the Red Sox and the Yankees. A, because of the travel. B, because they were slugfests. All right, they were 5 hour games, 2 5 hour games.
That was a joke.
In a different time zone. Now they all and plus the Red Sox lost two home games. They lost two home games. And now both those teams come back, and they play a couple of games before the All-Star break. Stupid, stupid, stupid.
Yeah, I mean, I'm totally against it. I was watching the game Saturday, and I'm like, okay, well, what kind of new balls are they playing with here? Or what did they make the pitch in my own 66 feet? Because to me it looked like an exhibition. It looked like these pitchers were just laying things up and guys were crushing them. Oh, the Yankees got out to a 6-0 lead. Oh, blah, blah, 6-6 after the first inning. I've never seen anything like that in my life.
And it was that way in both games.
Yeah, it was a joke. It was like an exhibition. They were like two exhibition games. It looked like the WWE had this thing set up. I don't understand it. It's not good for baseball. And you hear the people talking, oh, well, now we're going to try it in different venues in Europe. Good luck. If I'm an owner, I say, no, I'm not playing. And you know what? If you force me to play, my team's going to forfeit the games. I don't want it. And for you to expand the league into Europe is, one, you're going to get a crap product playing out there because of the expansion, and two, who's going to want to fly to Europe to play? And on the other hand, if you're a team from Europe, 98% of your games are going to be on the road in America. What are you, out of your mind? It's like saying, okay, we're going to put Australia in the football league. Come on. Yeah. It's not going to work.
It's not going to work. And you know what? I'll give the managers of both teams and I'll give the players of both teams for saying, oh, it was fun. It was a great experience.
Well, they had to.
But you know they all hated it. You know they all hated it.
They had to say that. They couldn't say it was bad. Yeah. I mean, if they said it was bad, they'd be called into the principal's office. They couldn't say it. They couldn't speak what they wanted to say. But no one, as an ex-player, not at that level, but as an ex-player, holy crap, yeah, let's get on a plane and go play in Europe. I remember we had to go. We were in a tournament in Puerto Rico, and we had to fly to Puerto Rico, and we flew there in the morning, and we played that night. We were dead. I mean, and that's only a five-hour flight. Well, we were absolutely dead. The next day, we tanked somebody out. But that night, the whole team was absolutely exhausted. We were like ghosts playing. So these guys going over in Europe and playing, I can't see it.
And my last critique of that is that if I was a Red Sox fan, I'd be even more upset because the Red Sox entered that series
back in the race.
Nine games behind, okay? And then they lost both those slugfests 11 games out, basically after the first 82 games. That makes almost an insurmountable chance to win the division.
Well, put it this way. If they win it, it's going to be one of the better comebacks. It'll be like the Yankees in 78.
Yeah. Just amazing. So that's that. Oh, anything else in the last minute we have?
No, you pretty much summed it up.
Yeah.
I mean, I was watching those games in England, and I was okay. Well, how are they going to outdo this now? And then you see something else happen. It was just bad, and the Yankees lost their first baseman. I don't know how Betts is for the Red Sox. He got injured too. So yeah, it was a real fruitful trip going over to London.
And just one final thing, New Jersey passes Las Vegas as the sports betting capital.
Now, that I don't believe.
I know, that's what they say.
That I don't. Well, you know, do you believe everything you read in the newspaper and they say on TV? I sure as hell don't.
No.
I don't believe that. I can't see how New Jersey surpassed Vegas in sports betting. Now, the only way that could be possible is if Las Vegas does not have online betting that most of New Jersey is tuned into, because I go to Monmouth Park and that place is still a torn down rat hole, and they're not putting a dime in it, and all you hear them talking about over there is poverty of how they're not getting any money put in it. So to say that they passed Las Vegas in sports gambling, yeah, okay. And the Easter Bunny comes in another 12 months or so.
All right,
I don't believe it.
We'll hop out of here and I'll speak to you tomorrow.
Have a great day, guys.
Take care, Mike. Mike Causey with a check on sports this morning here on The Breakfast Club on Robinhood Radio.